Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna. Flavor Fest, we are taking you to the islands today. That's right. We're going to give you some island flavor. We are interviewing Christafari. That's right. Actually, somebody from Christafari. Her name is Nikita Carter. She's been part of the group for several years now. And I've known Nikita since 2008. She actually was a USF student, University of South Florida, right here in Tampa. And she was a dance major, and a dancer invited her to come to Crossover. And so she came and she recommitted her life to Christ, and God just did amazing things. You're going to hear her story today, and super proud of her. But also, you want to tune in. Don't listen all the way till the end, because we're going to give you some information on Christafari's master classes that they're offering this month in June. They have over 40 different topics, and they're absolutely free. I'm talking like fundraising. They talk about sound mixing, touring, dance, music, singing, all kinds of stuff. And if you've never seen Christafari stuff, like, they do stuff in excellence. So it's going to be some great information they're going to be sharing. So stay tuned to the podcast. We're going to jump right in with Nikita Carter. Nikita, what's up, girl? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Doing good. Miss you. We miss you at Crossover Church.
I miss you guys too.
Yeah. So Nikita Carter, as I shared in the intro, she is part of the Christafari ministry, which is a Christian reggae ministry that travels the world. So, but before we get into some of your like traveling stories and traveling the world, all the awesome stuff that you're doing, tell people a little bit about Nikita Carter, where she comes from, how you ended up, you were at Crossover for a while, and then we're going to talk about the journey of getting to Christafari.
Yeah. So for me, my story is basically I was born and raised in Amsterdam, first generation from parents from Suriname. And I always had this desire to study abroad. So when I was 19, I made the move to America, came to Tampa, Florida, did the whole community college thing, went to University of South Florida.
Go Bulls, USF.
Go Bulls. And ended up studying dance, but also psychology. And during those years, God really started drawing my heart to become serious, to become intentional. I always was familiar with going to church, doing the thing that you do, Holy Communion at 12 and confirmation, depending on what denomination you're at. So I was familiar with it. But it wasn't until I was in America and meeting other Christians and seeing the difference between them really living for Christ versus being half in the world and Sunday in church, that I desired to have that real transformation. And for me, someone invited me to Flavor Fest. I think it was 2008. Wow. And I liked it. And I came back on a Sunday service at Crossover, the old campus before Toys R Us. And I decided within two visits, I want to become a member. And I became a member, had never really served in church. It was more like go to church, leave, go to church. But God really connected me to other godly women, people that could mentor me, and seeing what it looks like to have a fruitful life in Christ. Mm-hmm. From, you know, serving in children's ministry, to dance ministry, to being asked by you a few years later after I graduated college of, hey, what are you going to do after you, you know, graduate? I'm like, well, if I'm not staying in the States, I have to leave. I'm here on a student visa.
And like, what can we do to get you to stay?
I know.
What would that take? We don't want to lose you.
Yeah. And that was really God, because before you asked me that, I had just gone on my first ever missions trip in Rwanda with a dance ministry through another intern that you had at the time, Dave. And so I went and came back. And then you asked me at some point to come with you to Philadelphia, I think, to a conference to use my gift to dance. And so it was the first time that God really gave me these opportunities to use my gifting for him versus the mm-hmm. world. Because here I was trained to maybe go dance in New York or California, the places where you go. I ended up working in Busch Gardens as a dancer. But there was really like this struggle, like, do I continue to do this just for money? Or what about the opportunities that the Lord is presenting? And you were one of the first people that, you know, invited me to use my gift in that setting. And then it just kept continuing. And then you asked me, what can we do? We looked into opportunities to stay. And I ended up transferring from student visa to religious visa. And the lawyer that I had didn't even think it was possible to do be a dance missionary, basically.
Yeah, that was a title, right? What do you do? I'm a dance missionary. Like, and people are like, what does that mean? And but yeah, I just want to say, like, I remember when you first came to Crossover. And the other person that invited you was, she was a dancer too. And you came and you jumped in and were even more serious very quickly, more than she was. And I remember, so I'm thinking back, I think it was Mother's Day 2009 and you got baptized. Yep. And your mom came. Your mom was actually from Amsterdam. She was like visiting. She got to see you get baptized. I remember that was really cool. So yeah, so we saw the leadership at Crossover saw, you know, something really special in you, saw your passion for God, your gifts, your talents, how you were growing. And so then like it worked out that you were able to get this visa to become the dance missionary. So tell everybody a little bit what that looked like. You came on staff at the church as like an intern. And yeah. And what were some of the hats that you wore? Because if you work at Crossover, you're going to wear lots of hats.
Many hats. That's the cool thing. As a missionary, you can shift around as an intern. But I was in the worship team first and started learning about stage work to then backstage work to editing to pro presenter, like all these things I'd never done. Mm-hmm. Also here and there helping with children ministry in worship. Every now and then you'd, then it became actually starting a singles ministry and hats off fruit of that. Then it became, hey, let's bring these missionaries from Texas once a year in the summer. And can you work with them and host them and learning mm-hmm. how to, you know, plan and create 1 week plans where they basically have a full schedule. Then it became, hey, we want to do an international trip. And we went to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
So it was like different things every season that looked different to, you know, preparing your sermons to get them on the screen after you make them. So it was a variation of a lot of things, Flavor Fest being backstage and working with different artists. So I feel the whole time that I was there, God was preparing me to work in artistry and more beyond of what I thought the box of dance and expanding it to, I want to use you in singing. And I admit, I felt terrified. I didn't feel qualified at all or having adequate training. And then I met Christ Safari at Crossover Church. I'll let you talk about that. Yeah. How that went.
Well, I want to say this to people that are listening out there. If you just listen to what Nikita said, so she jumped in urban ministry and she was able to be in all these different positions and to be, you know, flexible. Because in urban ministry, you got to be flexible. And there is many times there's more needs and there's less resources. So even if you feel like I'm not qualified in this area, I've never done this before. Guess what? When you're in urban ministry, you have to put a lot of different hats on. But it can be such a blessing. I know even in my life of, you know, being in urban ministry now for over 20 years, there's so many things I've done. I'm the lead pastor now. I was a youth pastor at one time, but there's so many different roles that I had to play and things that I had to do, even from just little stuff like, man, I learned how to paint really good. I'm a good painter. You know, I learned how to lay patio blocks. You know, I learned just a lot of different things that I probably would have never learned if I was in some other context where they had the funding for somebody to get hired to do those things. But I'm so grateful because, you know, I have so many more tools in my tool belt because I've had these experiences. And so, you know, those of you that are out there that are looking at, to maybe get into urban ministry, or you're thinking, well, I'm going to just get in and I'm just going to do this. No, let me tell you something. If you're in urban ministry anywhere in the world, like you're going to have to learn and be open to learn a lot of new skills. And so it can be challenging at times. It can be frustrating, but it can be a beautiful process in the middle of it. So I just want to say, you know, Nikita, you did a great job, a graceful job of transitioning from all those different seasons. And even like at Crossover, you know, we have a smaller staff and a lot of people and a big building and a big ministry. And so at different seasons, we had gaps of different, like there was times when you were part of our ministry as an intern missionary, you know, a dance missionary, but like we didn't have a worship director, you know? And so you were filling in the gap of doing that along with like Lulu and then like Miss B, like it was there was so many different ways that, you know, you were being used. And so, you know, you were always very open to it. You weren't complaining. Like some people, you give them a new job or you change their job description a little bit and they're like, you know, so we always just appreciated your, you know, your spirit. And so those of you that are out there, like be flexible in urban ministry. There's lots of different hats that you have to wear. So you were wearing all these different hats, involved at Crossover and all these different things. And by the way, you did a great job with the dance ministry. I want to give you a shout out because you spent like, man, it must have been almost 2 years of doing fundraisers to raise money for this dance floor that we have in our lobby. And it's an amazing dance floor. It's a sprung bamboo, like, and the break dancers love it, you know, because we have breakdancing events out there. We've done dance classes. It serves as even a stage for the lobby. And so, but you put a lot of hard work into trying to get that because we were so broke when we first moved into this building. Like we had all this construction debt that we owed, like $400,000 of construction debt. It took us almost 3 years to pay that off. And then even then we were just trying to play catch up and fix things, you know, around the building and finish things out. And you're like, yeah, this dance floor, it's going to be like $4,000. We were like, good luck with that. If you want that, you got to raise the money yourself. And you were like, all right. I'll do it. I'll figure it out. And it took a while, but you raised it and we got that floor built, and the floor really should have been way more than 4,000. I think it was like $7,000 or $8,000, but you know, you were able to like negotiate with people and build relationships and like, you know, be like, it's for the church. Come on. I'm a missionary from Amsterdam. I'm all the way here. You can build this floor for us.
Yes.
So that was great. So along, you're in the middle of all that. And then along comes Christ the Pharaoh. And I've been friends with Mark, the leader of Christ the Pharaoh. We first met each other, man, I think it was back in like the late 90s.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s. Around that time, I was at GMA. You know, I was a signed artist and signed to a label. And, you know, that's where we met at GMA up in Nashville. So it was probably early 2000s actually. But they were around since the 90s. So I knew who they were. And I'm like, oh man, Christopher, you know, you see Mark with his dreads walking around, big white guy with dreads. They're like, oh man, I know you. I've been listening to your music. So, you know, we connected. He was really a great guy, gave me his number. You know, we kept in touch and was always like, man, I want to bring you to Crossover sometime. I want to bring you to Flavor Fest sometime. But it was challenging because at the time they had a different model to where everyone was kind of a artist part of the group that was paid. And so then they had to, you know, find gigs that would, you know, pay them and fly them in, and then they'd split the money with everybody. And it can be really challenging, you know, if you've got a whole band of like, you know, 7, 8, 10 people. Like there's not a lot of places that can afford to bring you in and pay the honorarium for people to make 10 people to make a living off of that. So I know that Mark eventually shifted to this new model that we're going to talk about in a minute. But they finally came to Crossover because they had this new model and, you know, they didn't charge this, you know, big fee to pay everybody. People were raising their own support. And so you saw them and met them and you were like, that's what I want to do. You know, and so they met you and, you know, we're talking and Mark's like, hey man, you know, me and my wife really like that Nikita girl, man, you know, and we think she would be a great addition and she's sharp and, you know, and I think you actually went, didn't you go with them and kind of like sort of try out at They came on a Florida tour, and didn't you go with them on some of the other dates to kind of hang out and sing a little bit?
Something like, yeah, what happened was they asked me to audition after they met me to find out that I was a missionary at Crossover. Yeah. They asked me where I was from and what do I do. I'm like, I'm a dancer and I do other stuff. I'm like, can you sing? Yeah, I sing here and there in church on worship Sunday. Okay, so I did the audition, not expecting to hear back because I just didn't feel qualified at that level that they do it.
Yeah.
I ended up hearing back, had to send in a new video. He calls me during Christmas and says, we want you definitely to work more on your vocals. But there's a problem. You're not from America. I said, yeah, I can't actually make a change right now. So yeah, I ended up joining them, but I only did one trip a year the first 2 years of meeting them, where I went to Florida, to Honduras, and then a year later I did one more trip. So it took a while, the transition.
Yeah, so talk about that journey, because you moved from a visa, then you ended up getting an actual like green card, right?
Yeah.
And I remember like you were ready to go. I remember I'm on the phone with Mark and he's like, oh man, are you sure that, you know, and we were really trying to protect you. We were like scared. Like we were like, if she goes to another country and then she tries to come back in and, you know, she's only got this visa, they could deny her and then keep her out of the country and she might not be able to get back in. And then, you know, it just, this could be really bad if we don't go about this the right way. And so I know it was like super frustrating because you were here for like another year and a half, almost 2 years.
Yep.
And you were trying to get the paperwork right. And there was moments where it seemed like, yeah, this is not going to happen. This is impossible. But you kept fighting for that dream. So what were some of the things during those 2 years of fighting for that? What are some of the things that kept you going? There might be someone listening or watching right now that has been fighting for a dream and they just keep coming against all these brick walls.
Yeah. I think, first of all, for anyone listening, right, a dream is a wish, is a desire, but a dream only happens when you work for it. Other than that, it just remains a wish. So there was work that had to be put in. And I can look back now and realize it wasn't just the waiting financially in getting things ready. It wasn't just the waiting in, you know, regionally getting the visa card so I can move to a new region, which is California. I think now looking back, like you said, learning to be flexible, doing different things, I now basically get to apply what I've learned with you guys here in Christ Safari. There's moments I have to call hundreds of people. Well, I did follow-up calls, you know, in Crossover Church as well. But the preparation also spiritually, because what I've learned in being on tour, you don't get the privilege when you tour to go to church every Sunday. So you need to be spiritually strong enough to handle temptation. When we're in places like Thailand, surrounded by prostitution, especially for our men, like we always do, walking in two or more, but you need to be spiritually strong enough to deal with the temptation that you see. You know, your core, your heart, it's so important. And I've learned that while being on the road, but even while I was waiting in those 2 years, you and I know as my leader at the time that I really had a moral failure spiritually in my walk and dealing at the time with like bisexuality and thinking what's wrong with me. And thank God, God is a redeemer. He's a transformer. He says what he will do when he says, I will make you new and give you even a clean heart and take you out of that miry clay. But just realizing that when that was happening, you know, confessing like, hey, I'm struggling with this sin internal and acting on it and having the right accountability. And, you know, when you get rebuked, no one likes discipline. Like it says in Hebrews, like discipline might be uncomfortable, but the fruit that comes out of it, if you stick to it, that is what is necessary. So I think God knew I had to go through that. And maybe that's why I wasn't able to go yet either, because you need to be, you know, above reproach. And not just because we're on a platform, but if I'm going to talk about, you know, how much we need Jesus every night, but then I'm here struggling in some sin, you know, God wants to also take out what's not good root. And so I think spiritually had to be prepared in those 2 years. Financially, it took time to raise funds to get ready to move. And it was a blessing actually, because it took, for me, it gave me time to tell people, hey, there's this new transition that's coming. I'm going to be raising more funds. Let me tell you about the vision. Let me tell you about the mission. Let me tell you why I would love for you to participate in partnering and sending me. So I think it was an honor for me, where some people, when they join, they're completely new to fundraising and missions. And so they might not have had the full time to build their funds. And then you jump into suddenly no paycheck and you have to like manage all of that. So the 2 years, now that I look back, it felt long.
Yeah.
But now it looks so short.
Yeah. And that's good. Some of you guys might be in the waiting room too. And like Nikita said, there was some areas of her life where she didn't realize there was still a struggle or a weakness there. So yeah. God may want to expose that weakness. And even if you fall, God can redeem it and he can help strengthen you through it. And it's better that you go through that rough time before you get fully out there in, into the next season. And so, and I want to say to you, like, thank you for, I remember that season now that you bring it up, but you're the one that came to us and you brought it out, like you confessed it. So, it wasn't like you, got caught or were trying to hide it for a long time. It was something you came out and you were very honest and transparent with, and you were open to the correction, even though I know it wasn't easy. And there were some tough, difficult conversations and some new boundaries that were put in place that were a little bit like, but you walked through that and, you came out on the other side of it much stronger. And to the point to where we were able to say to like Mark and Christofari, like, okay, she's ready now. Like she needed to maybe go through some of this stuff and now she's ready. Yeah. So you've combined musician / dancer and missionary together. Yeah. So you have this word musicianary.
Yep.
And I know we have a lot of missionaries that are listening to this or just people that are urban missionaries. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the big challenging things when you go to a mission field, especially one that's under-resourced, like an urban context, or for you, even an international, context or international urban context, the needs are greater and the resources are lower. So, many of us that are going into urban ministry or urban musicianship, it's not like there's a salary waiting. It's not like you can go to a church and they're going to pay you, or you can go do a show at a church and they have money to pay you, or maybe they give you a little something, but it's not enough to really like live off of, So you've done really good at fundraising, and this is an area that can be a struggle for a lot of people in urban ministry. So if you could just, maybe share some of the tips and some of the things that you've learned, because even for like urban church planners that might be listening to this, you got to raise the money for that. But many times we have to go outside of our context to raise the money. And me and Pastor Scott Free, we talked a little bit about this in episode 2 on the podcast, because, just when we started Crossover ATL, of course, Crossover in Tampa, we supported financially. But they also had to do a bunch of additional fundraising. I mean, we had to raise, a couple $100,000. And so that's a lot of money. And to try to find that in the urban context, in an inner city environment is challenging. So maybe even like your circle of influence or your sphere, your family, your friends, they may not even always have a lot. So sometimes you even have to reach outside of that and get uncomfortable. So I know you've done a lot of that over the years. So what's some tips and some stuff that you've learned?
Yeah, I'm happy you asked. And obviously, if you're watching, it's obviously a little bit different if you're doing personal fundraising for your livelihood versus if you're like a pastor that has to do fundraising big. And so I get to learn from Tommy, but also from my leader now, Mark Moore, who's been doing it for 30 years, who has to honestly raise sometimes more than $40,000 a month, because 12 people on airplanes and food and meals and lodging, that's a lot of money per month when we're traveling, right? So one of the things that we have been doing when I educate our missionaries that come in when they're completely new, we all tell them the requirement, first of all, is to read this book. It's called The God Ask, and it's by Stephen Shadrach. Highly recommended. No, it doesn't matter what ministry you're doing, just fundraising, period. It talks really with a fresh and biblical perspective on how to see that in the Bible, we see how partnering with each other was important. We see examples of even Jesus having his ministry and different men and women supporting, whether that was from hospitality when you stay somewhere, to financially pouring into the work that you're doing. But really understand that every person that you know throughout your lifetime, we teach them could be a potential. Mm. So don't in your mind think, oh, that person is a college student. I don't think that they could afford it. You don't know that. Sometimes that college student will support more than that married couple with four kids. So you never know what somebody's budget is. So don't make up in your mind, I don't think they will support. If you don't ask, it will always be a no. And so I try to always tell people, we apply the God ask, where we tell people, it's you, first of all, asking God, who should I ask? And then you talking to God and that person. But that other person, we tell them, they also have to ask God, God, is this a ministry that I should invest in? So two people both ask God. They look first up vertically before they go horizontally. And we've been doing that now for almost, I would say, 6 years, almost, or 4 or 5 years. And it's a tip that I tell everybody, but we also tell them, get a mentor to help you. Look at someone that has been doing fundraising for years, whether that's a leader or a church, so that they can kind of have you under their wing and guide you and keep you accountable, because it is a job. It's not something that, you know, that you just say, oh, I do it once. Yeah, you might go on a mission trip once, but if you are in full-time ministry, you don't want to raise just one time. You want to raise for monthly support. So we always focus on monthly support. We even tell them, don't be too little with your asking. Sometimes we think, well, should I ask for $10 a month? And I used to do that when I first started. Right now I'm like, well, ideally, I would love to have people that can give $100 a month, but you can choose, you know, more or less, so that people have the invitation at all times. And you want to communicate vision all the time to people, because people need to know, how is this going to work out? Also, be the first to support you, right? It's one thing to say, will you invest in me? But what have you put in into what you say you believe in? So for me, I decided to also fund partly certain of the missions that we do. We have a most needed fund in Christ the Fire that covers the expenses that are sometimes $40,000 a month, but then there's also missionaries on our team. So I've decided this year to support one of our band members, because you want to have a generous heart too. God is very clear about that too in his word. Another tip that I could give you is, honestly, pray about it, pray about the decision. If you're called, I believe God will never shame you. I think sometimes we are too quick to stop and give up. And they say the number one thing that people stop in ministry or missions work is financially. They're not making enough funding. So really pray about it. Ask anyone, put in the hard work. It will give you a lot of work in the beginning, but once you have, let's say if your goal is $3,000 a month as a single person, you know, keep a check rate on that. Like, we have like these vision boards that we use where we check in every Monday, and it's like, okay, how many meetings have you had this week? If your goal is 10 people this week to talk to, then are you doing that? Are you calling them? Are you following up with people? Another thing that I would say as a tip is, thank before you bank. So yeah, people will donate, but are you keeping a relationship with people? Because I don't think it's necessary on fundraising. You're also friend raising. You're making friends for a lifetime.
Yeah.
There's people that I update every month through my blog, and they're like, Nikita, honestly, I don't really care about all these emails. I am supporting what you're doing. I know what you do. So you don't really have to. I know you probably have to do it in the sense of some people want to know what you're up to, especially with this pandemic. There are some people that might fall out. There are some people that say, well, you guys are not even going on tours. Yes, but guess what? Let me tell you what we are doing. This. So we're still creating work to reach people. And so we're letting people know that pandemic happens, but it doesn't change the vision. It doesn't change the mission, no matter what.
That's good.
So those are some tips.
Yeah, you do a great job of keeping in touch with people too. And I think that's the other thing, that sometimes that people that are in some kind of fundraising or supporting thing, like, they'll, you know, reach out to them once, the person supports or starts supporting, and then they don't have any communication with them. So you do a great job. You know, me and my wife support you as often as we can, and you keep in touch with us, you know, and send us emails. You know, we've gotten cards from you multiple times. Sometimes you'll even send like a small little like gift of like somewhere you were at or something. And like, those are those little touch points that are, like you said, you're raising friends. And then you're also, it's that touch point to remind people like, hey, this is out there. This is what I'm doing. And you always do a great job of just even sharing what some of the details of the trips you were on, like the stats and what took place. So share a little bit about Christafari, because some people may not, I know probably most people have heard the name, you know, mm-hmm. because it's been around, Christafari has been around for a long time, like the number one Christian reggae group. But I think a lot of people may not realize like the impact that you guys have. To me, it's like you guys are one of the most fruitful ministries that are out there. So that's why you're one of the ministries that me and my wife support. So, share a little bit about some of those stats on those international tours you go on. Cause some of those numbers are like thousands of people coming to know Christ and you guys being in front of, you know, tens of thousands of people. And it's amazing.
Yeah. So since 2012, since the model has changed, we've seen honestly exponentially an increase of seeing more decisions for Christ. And I think that also is because we're going to more places, which means more outreaches, which means more people. And so, which means more people are hearing the good news and have an ability, right, to respond. So one of the goals that Pastor Martin Moore has said, he would like to see at least 1 million converts within the next 5 years. Ooh. And honestly, I think it's actually maybe even going to happen before, because last year alone, in 12 months, we went to 30 nations.
Yeah.
And so that allows you to speak to so many different places, where we sometimes see per trip 100,000 converts estimate. Wow. Right. And so when you add that up over 30 nations, it starts growing more and more. And I think that also has to do with the type of missions work we get to do. Is we're constantly in front of people because of crowds, right? Concert based, which brings a lot of people. The attraction, the bait is really right. The music, the hook is the reggae. People love the reggae. But then the real meat is, hey, we're going to give you the good news. And that's why we are here to do. And that's why we always say when people book us that try to do concerts to make tickets, we're like, no, we don't want ticket sales, because we don't do it, you know, for the sales. We do it for the souls.
Yeah. So that's one thing I love about you guys. And, you know, and Mark, you guys have always been focused on the souls, and it's been about the mission. And that's why I believe you guys have been around so long. You know, I say you guys, you're part of the group now, but you know, Mark's been doing it for 30 years. Yep. How has he had that kind of longevity? Because the mission has always been, you know, reaching people for Christ and sharing the gospel. And so, like you said, that shift, the model change, if you guys didn't catch it, they went from the traditional model of being like a band that travels and you have to get booked and pay a certain amount, to now it shifted in 2012 to just become this this musicianary model, to where each person that's part of the band is there as a missionary doing music, and they fundraise their own way. And of course, the group gives them a lot of support and templates and help with that. And then the group also, Mark does additional fundraising for some of those bigger trips, you know, pay for international airfare that sometimes, you know, can be a couple thousand dollars a plane ticket. And, you know, you got to do that for what, 10 people. Like that's, you know, it's expensive. So, but man, the fruit has been amazing. And so if you're out there and you have a dream and you have a calling and God's calling you to do something, like, don't think it's impossible. Like, God can carve it out. God can create it. I know even for me and those of you that know Crossover Church, and, you know, even us getting into the facility that we're in, which we've been in here now, we're actually going to celebrate 10 years this fall that we've been in this facility. But before we were in this facility, it was just a dream. It was like, we know we need a bigger facility. That would be awesome. That'd be nice. But it seems so like such a big goal. Like, I don't know how we're ever going to do that.
And Atlanta now, campus.
Yeah, and now we planted another church in Atlanta. And of course, that was something we've always wanted to do. But again, it was like, man, that's a lot of work. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know who's going to do it. But as you're faithful, God will begin to fill in all the needs and all the gaps and all the different things. So, so last thing I want to talk to you about, I'm going to lean in a little bit for this.
Okay.
Really excited about this. And I want to let everybody know that's listening to the Flavor Fest podcast about this incredible resource that you guys are doing. And you guys just recently announced it. So by the time everybody's listening to this, it's the beginning of June. And so it's the, I want to say it right, the Ascent Masterclasses. And so, you know, you can look on IG, you can look on Facebook, and everybody's doing a masterclass on something, you know, where you can learn how to master some kind of, you know, different craft or art. And so you guys are offering all these different master classes in so many different topics. And some of them, even what you're talking about today with fundraising, is one of them too. Yeah. But touring, lots of different music stuff. So I know a lot of people that are connected with Flavor Fest and the podcast are into music and touring and traveling and, and urban missions and trying to figure out how to, so share, like, give us that list of some of the different things and the vision behind it, and especially how much it cost, because it's a good deal.
It's free. All you got to do is sign up online.
$3.99.
Yep, completely. But to answer your question, what are we doing? So 40 classes, topics from instruments to sound engineering, to learning. In our case, we're doing reggae, so we'll focus on reggae guitar, reggae bass. If you're a singer, vocals. I'm teaching one dance session on Afrofusion, so you could do that if you are a dance ministry.
Ooh,
I'm learning how to mix
Afrofusion. Get your TikTok skills up.
I know. If you are in the studio, you want to learn how to do song mixing, filmmaking, because we don't have a budget when it comes to film videography. We use iPhones to make all our music videos or cameras.
So that is not crazy. Like, your videos look great. You use iPhones? I didn't even know that. I'm learning that.
Some of them are iPhones. So we have a session on iPhone filmmaking, how to use just your iPhone.
So the Waymaker video that you guys did, like, in the jungle with the mountains behind, we showed part of that at Crossover. Did you guys do that with iPhones?
That one wasn't. No,
okay, I was going to say, like, oh my goodness, what kind of iPhone was that?
Yeah, no. But we did Beautiful, What a Beautiful Name, covered by Hillsong. That was on an iPhone 8, I think. How to build a beat, how to program a song. So for those beat makers, but even if you're into, personal evangelism, how do you share the gospel? There's so many people that are Christians and they've never led someone to Christ because we're in a free nation, we're in America, and some people have never. And then other places underground where you get persecuted, they get to share all the time and bring people to Christ. So we think it's important that it's not just your pastor on a stage with a mic that needs to,
preach.
So we tell them too, how to do that, how to minister, interfaith. What if somebody is a different religion? How do you minister to them? Make sure you do the becoming a full-time missionary if you're interested on June 26th. That's the closing. I'm doing a session on how to fundraise, sermon writing if you're into, preaching. What's another topic? Worship keys, courts, tour management, booking,
touring,
translating. If you're traveling internationally, you need a translator when you speak. So those are some of the topics.
That's good. So much stuff that's applicable to a lot of people that are listening to this right now. So where can they go to take advantage of these classes that cost $3.99? They're totally free. Where do they go to sign up?
You can go to ascentmasterclasses.com, or you can find all the info on our Instagram as well at Christ Safari Band. And once you go to the website, there's a simple sign up by email. You'll get an email back. And then within a few days, June 1, when it starts, you'll basically get a link with a Zoom link towards your class. So we're still working out the kinks. First time ever doing this. So grace, but I'm excited. We have right now 450 people signed up.
Wow. That's incredible. So guys, like, take advantage of those classes, check them out. If you haven't seen some of the excellence that Christ Afari like moves in, they do an incredible job. So, Nikita, I'm super proud of you, and Crossover Church, we're super proud of you. You're still one of our family members, one of our missionaries that we've sent out. And it's so encouraging to see the stuff that you're doing and many of the things, like you said, that you dipped your finger in here, you wore the hat here, and it began to prepare you for, taking it to a whole nother level.
I want to say one more thing for anyone listening. Wherever you are, like church, ministry, don't give up in your growth. And I say that because when I went through my hard time, moral failure, I could have been easily, I'm leaving. And I notice when people go through difficulties, whether that's because of them, their own struggle or whatever church hurt or whatever topic you've gone through, it hurts me the most when I hear people, they've given up on God or on ministry because of something that happened. God is a good guy that won't keep you in your struggle. He'll help you through it. He'll be with you. But don't be so quick to walk away of the uncomfortable times, the stretching times, because that flexibility that Pastor Tommy just talked about, you'll need it in another phase. And if you can't, you know, handle your current season, it's going to be hard to go into the next season. You can't just be a starter. You need to be a finisher. And I just feel like for anyone that has given up on being in ministry, I've met so many people over the years, they feel they can't ever be used by God. And these are Christians giving up on their faith. And so please don't give up. Like, take your preparation and waiting time to grow and to build and be planted, bloom where you're planted. That's something that we say now. I'm learning. I've never played an instrument, and now I play bass in every show. Like, who would have thought I would sing, dance, and play bass guitar? So I feel you never know.
We need a bass player at Crossovers too. So
oh, really?
Next time you come.
You never know what happens when you stay. But if you always keep running to the next new thing because it's new, you're going to miss out on a lot. And I'm learning in my own life, like, before I was a missionary, I had a job here, a job there. And Crossover was my first vocation in ministry, but it was also my longest ever job. I did that for 4 years and now 3 years at Christ Safari. And so I'm learning what it means to be loyal and faithful in one place when you're tired, when you're weary. And ask people like Tommy that have been 20 years or Mark Moore, 30 years in ministry. Like, steadfastness is our year. This is our word this year in our ministry from Corinthians, how to be steadfast in abounding in the work of the Lord. And I think that's one crucial thing that we can't forget about when you're ministry, how to be steadfast.
That's good. All right. So before we end, we're going to do something that we do at the end of the podcast now. And it's called the Flavor Fest 5. So you got to give this, I'm going to give you 5 questions and you got to like rapid answer back, like in less than 5 seconds, just give me a quick answer. Okay. So I didn't give her any of this stuff in advance. So are you ready for the Flavor Fest 5?
I hope.
Okay. So how much sleep did you get during Flavor Fest?
4 hours.
All right. Who was your favorite artist at Flavor Fest?
Michelle Bonilla.
All right. What was your favorite Flavor Fest moment behind the scenes?
Oh my gosh, backstage with the artists and soundcheck.
All right, who was your favorite speaker at Flavor Fest?
Larry Acosta.
All right, and what artist would you love to see at Flavor Fest in the future?
Christ Safari.
All right, you did good. You did good. Awesome. Well, Nikita, hey, again, like, we love you. We're proud of you. And I encourage people out there listening, go follow Christ Afari. They're always putting out amazing music. Like, they are some of the hardest working people in the Christian music industry, period. They're not industry, they're ministries, like, for real. So that's why your hearts are in it, your passion's in it. So Mark would have been on here, but Mark is still, like, he's still sleeping right now. Mark, I love you, bro. I love you, man. Shout out, bro. But yeah, he, like, is in the studio all night from like midnight to 6, like making records, mixing stuff, recording. And then he comes home and goes to bed. And so he's on California time. So he's not up quite yet, but hey, can you pray for us as we end this podcast and just pray for all the leaders that are out there and all the future musicianaries and missionaries, urban missionaries that are getting it in for the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus, thank you so much for what you're doing in your kingdom and how you're using so many different leaders and so many different ministries. I bring before you right now pastors, ministry leaders, marriages, anyone that is on a platform where we get to speak your word, but also live out your word in our actions and with our words. I pray that you continue to equip us through your Holy Spirit connect us to other godly people so that we know that this mission that we carry to make your known might look different in many places, but we're under the same spirit, under the same God, under the same Jesus. And so continue to have unity among all your believers. I know that you are in control in this time where life looks so different for everybody in ministry. But I feel so amazed when I think about your promise in the word where it says that we will be like palm trees planted, flourishing in every season. That means every believer gets to still flourish no matter what they go through. May you use this time in a mighty way. We thank you and bless every person that's listening right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Man, again, super proud of Nikita. She's one of our own missionaries from Crossover Church. Been a big part of Flavor Fest the years that she was connected to our ministry. And so, hey, if you guys enjoyed listening to what you heard today or watching what you heard, subscribe. If you could rate it, if you're watching, if you're listening on a podcast platform, make a comment on YouTube, share it with some people, let some other leaders know about it. We want to get this out to as many people. We want to continue to grow our Flavor Fest urban ministry, urban leadership, Christian hip hop, reggae even. We want to grow that tribe and just empower leaders in music, in the marketplace, in ministry. And so we can only do that if you guys are helping us get the word out. And so listen, next week, we got a really an incredible episode, and we're going international, technically. So we're going to be talking to a brother that's originally all the way from Australia. And because of Flavor Fest, he ended up in the States. And so he'll tell you the story about that. So if you come to Flavor Fest from the international, you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what God's going to do in your heart. But in specific now, he is in New York City, which, as you know, has been the epicenter of COVID-19. And so both him and his wife got COVID-19, ended up in the hospital. Their three kids had COVID at one time, like they were sick and their kids were sick and they couldn't even take care of their kids. Just crazy stuff that this family has gone through. And he's lead pastor at Bridge Church in Queens. Here's a little clip from next week.
I woke up in the middle of the night and just could not breathe, could not get any air into my lungs. So I went upstairs to tell Maura I was sick. And as I ran up the stairs, it took so much energy that I collapsed on the floor. And so she was freaking out. She rang the ambulance. Ambulance came. Thankfully, they gave me some oxygen. And at the hospital, they did a number of tests. And they said that people were just having spasms in their lungs, where the lungs were just seizing up.
Yeah.
And so after, you know, a couple of hours, I was better and I was able to go home the next day. But when I went home, my wife was getting worse and worse and worse. And so thankfully, we have a lady who's an emergency room doctor in our church. And I rang her and said, listen, I'm concerned. So she got Maura on the phone. Mm-hmm. After like 30 seconds, said, give the phone back to Evan. And she said, take it to the hospital now.
Yeah.
Because her breathing was really bad. And so when she got there, she found out that she had pneumonia. She had sepsis, COVID, like the whole nine yards. And for the first 5 days, nothing improved.
Wow.
And going to a COVID ward, it's like something from a movie, you know, where you go and you have to drop the person at the door and you don't know if you're ever going to see them again.
That's scary, man.
And I'd been inside the ward and the beds were like too deep in the hallway, you know, as you're walking in and there's just people everywhere in all these hazmat suits. It's like, you know, I was just freaking out when I went in there. And so to imagine I'm dropping my wife off there. And at the time I was hearing so many stories, there's no visiting, you know, and so like for the first few days I was pretty freaked out.
Yeah. So Flavor Fest fam, I'll see you guys next Tuesday. We're going to be talking to my mate from Australia via New York City. I can't even do it. I'm sorry, y'all. My man, Evan Pete. And it's going to be amazing. He's a great guy. They got some great ministry happening in New York. He's also going to talk to us about what's happening with Crosswords, the Hip Hop Collective, and the Up Rock Conference. It's kind of like the Flavor Fest of Australia, of that entire hemisphere. So tune in next Tuesday. We're going to chop it up with my man, Evan. I'll see you then.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at FlavorFest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.